Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio. With your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta. I won this club.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 554. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and joining us this week, Pete Rock. Pete,
what up? How are you?
What's up, man?
I'm alright. A little sore, but I'm doing alright.
Sore.
Sore.
The workout, the whole workout thing,
dude.
Is...
Yeah, man. I'm not used to this afternoon workout thing, dude. I gotta get... It's gotta be 6 in the morning, because I don't like this after workout, like after going to work, then have to throw that in there.
But, man, so how you feel like going to work, man, like that? The next day or something, yeah? Stuff?
It's... You just put up with... And that's something I actually asked for the next person you're gonna introduce.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, like, after a while, like, do you just deal with a perpetual state of soreness? Like, is that just normal? Like, is that like the price you pay for trying to stay in shape?
It's gonna be like that maybe for like the first couple of weeks, and then after that, you know,
it don't matter. No, because you're not really doing anything until, you know, if you don't feel sore afterwards, you're not really doing it. You're just going through the motions. And that's how I feel about it. So you did something. If the next day you're sore, or you got noodle legs because you did legs that day or whatever, you know, so that's just my personal opinion.
And also, we have finally, after what, a couple weeks, maybe a month, Paris is back.
I could just leave again if you want me to.
Jesus Christ, man.
You guys seem so happy when I'm not on, so I don't know. Am I ruining something?
You know why we're happy, Paris? You know why? Because Pete and Patrick, they're not mean like you. Well, those mean tweets I've been getting 24/7.
Well, we know you can't be happy because you can't interrupt me when I'm trying to talk on the podcast. So I'm sure you were pretty sad about that.
Wow. Well, I could interrupt Pete or Patrick.
which you did on the last episode, by the way, but we won't talk about that. But to answer Pete's question, you're both right, actually. After a few weeks of doing it, you're not going to be sore all the time. But like you're saying, Pete, if you're not feeling that pump and you're not feeling that burn while you're doing it and a few hours after you're doing it, then you're just going through the motion. Like, I literally just went to the gym and I still feel it right now, but when I wake up in the morning, I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's like I left the gym and today was calves, so it's like I left the gym and it was like, I don't know how much I'm gonna press the gas or the brake because I can't feel my feel my feet.
Yeah, not to turn this into the fitness show, but it literally comes down to this: hard work, dedication, consistency. If you do those three things when you go to the gym, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's and Pete, remember this, Pete. Don't hurt yourself before we go to E3.
Oh, no. This, I'm 3 months in now. Is it officially 3 months in now from me hitting the gym consistently 4 days a week minimum? So, yeah, man.
All right. Well, congrats, man.
It's been a learning process. It's the hardest thing is not whether I want to go to the gym or not. It's whether I want to say fuck it and go to Popeyes and grab a three piece and sparkle. It's just that is probably the hardest thing, and it's not the waking up early and going to the gym. It's fighting that urge. Now, not to say that I can't have those cheat days, and even on those cheat days, I don't go Fat Boy Chronicles like I used to. It's still a within moderation type thing. It's crazy.
Well, I have a question though to you guys. Are we gonna have our second annual E3?
Yes.
Like
oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
but see that, and again, I'll make it short and sweet. But that's the thing. I still get it in. You know what I mean? But I just don't get it in all the time. But when I do get it in, I'm getting it in. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like I'm one of those weird people that can't drink or eat Popeyes. Hell, I had Popeyes the other day. You know what I mean? But I'm not. It's just I don't do it all the time. That was the first time I had Popeyes in 2016. Hey, look, after I saw Batman Superman for a second time, I was like, I need Popeyes. So I had to treat myself.
I haven't had Popeyes since December.
Yeah.
Even November. Yeah. It's been about 5 months since I've had Popeyes.
Yeah.
And I didn't start this journey until November. So.
But let me say one last thing. And before, I'm sure half the people are rolling their eyes when they want to hear about video games, but shameless plug I have to do. I do a new podcast to do with a friend of mine, Chris. It's called Two Big Topics. We only do it once a month. And matter of fact, after we record this one, I'm recording an episode with him. And my big topic for that episode is going to be my 5-year journey of weight loss and maintaining it in the gym and all that stuff. So if you're listening to this and you see me on Twitter or Instagram with my 10 million gym pics or talking about a gym, Popeyes or something, listen to that episode and you'll see how it's not as easy as you may think, and it's not as hard as you may think either. It's just literally a mentality that you had to have. So I'm going to talk about that on an episode. So look for Two Big Topics. And if you don't have the URL to that, just hit us up at fanmail@gamertagradio.com and I will send it to you, or hit me up on Twitter at @vicious696.
All right. Well, Patrick is not going to be joining this week. Well, actually he's submitting a review all about Quantum Break that's coming out for the Xbox One, I believe, next week, April 5th. Am I correct? April 5th?
I believe. I think that's the date. Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, I'm pretty hyped. I just started playing the game. And Paris, I believe you already have yours downloaded.
Yeah, I'm going to play it on Windows 10. So it'll be...
Okay,
it'll be
so you're going to wait until Windows 10.
Yeah, it'll be next week when Windows 10 comes out.
All right, cool.
Awesome.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or, you know, go to different places you can find us. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere. Share with your friends. And if you have the chance, please review us on iTunes. That would be great. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. First of all, thanks to everybody who's been emailing us, sending us questions, and also they want to be part of that pretty cool giveaway, free game Organic Panic. If you want a free copy for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, just email us, family@gamertagradio.com, and we'll hook you up, all right? For those that would like to make money, you know, that's an easy way for you to do that. Drive with Uber. Uber's a smartphone app that connects with riders with drivers, and as a driver, it will help you to make extra money driving your own car. We know a couple of people that have been doing that now for a while now. And I even have family members that are doing this too. And look at this. It's totally flexible. They're doing it on their own time. And they don't have to quit their own day job. You could do the same thing too. Because Uber lets you make extra money on your own schedule. Whenever you need extra money, just turn on the app and drive. A few hours here and there. And that's it. It all adds up fast and it's super, super easy. So this is how you do it. Go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. And you could do it right now while listening to GTR or when I'm arguing with Pat Paris. You could do that easily. Second, answer a few basic questions about you and your car and then get approved. Third, start driving. And that's it. It's super, super easy. So sign up with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com and spread the word. Thanks to Uber for supporting Gamer Tag Radio. All right, so we have a big, big news topic here, which I know we talked a little bit last week, but let's talk about this more, man. Okay, I know Paris talked about this a lot online. I've seen him like in different social media websites talking about the PlayStation 4.5, which is the 4K version, which supposedly rumor is that they might be an announcement very, very soon before the launch of the PlayStation VR. So, Paris, I know you heard us talking about it a little bit last week. What are your thoughts about this 4K stuff, man?
Okay, so
you're into the whole
Let me correct you slightly. You said I was on social media talking about it, and I was on social media arguing about it because people, I don't know why people get mad at me when I have an opinion. It just blows my mind. But people mad because I'm sitting there saying last week that this is not going to be a 4K gaming system. It just logically does not make sense for price wise, whatever. And I'll give you the perfect example. I currently have a high end PC. I have a GTX 980 super clocked processor, right? You go right now on Amazon to try and buy the same GPU that I have. It's going to cost you $500 easy to get this thing. If you want to get a 980 Ti, it's going to cost you $600 easy. You want to get a Titan X, you're looking at about $800 easy. The reason I bring up these three cards, while they're capable of doing 4K, they can barely do 4K. You literally need to take two 980 Ti's or two Titan X's and put them in SLI to do consistent 4K gaming above 30 frames per second. So to think that Sony or Microsoft or whoever on a console is going to be able to mass produce a GPU that is going to reliably do 4K gaming at a minimum of 30 frames per second, more likely, if you want to do this whole thing, it probably needs to do it at 60 frames per second, when even the current PlayStation 4 and Xbox One can barely do 1080p 60 frames per second, is crazy. Man. Because you're going to be spending $1,000 easy on this machine if you think that's the case. I just don't see it. Look, if I'm wrong, I will come on here and admit I'm wrong, because I will be flabbergasted, shocked if at E3 this year, Sony announces a 4K gaming PlayStation 4. Not to mention, it theoretically is going to divide your community, because like we already know, there's 36 million PlayStation 4s out there and people are going to want the latest and greatest. So if you're, now you're telling me my gaming experience has been enhanced, so there's 36 million people out there that are going to be scrambling to try and go get another console. I just don't see Sony doing that. In my opinion, this is just strictly my opinion, I see this as a 4K video streaming and a 4K Blu-ray upgrade is what they're going to do. What basically, they're going to put HDMI 2.0 on this new PlayStation, so you can start streaming from Amazon and Netflix 4K content. And they're probably going to stick a 4K Blu-ray player in there, because look, hey, it's Sony. They're the ones that created this medium. They have a vast library of 4K content that they're going to come out. Look, that new Spider-Man movie that'll be out in 2017, you know that's going to be in 4K, so that's going to be a big seller for them. And most likely that breakout box that currently you need to attach to your PlayStation 4 for PlayStation VR, they're probably going to build that in, so you don't need that anymore, and that's going to allow them to potentially lower the price of the standalone VR system. You know what I mean? So these are the type of things I think it's going to be. I know there's rumors out there talking about potential gaming aspects of it and all that. Maybe it's going to up-res to 4K potentially, but really it's still playing games at 1080p. That could happen. But if you think you're going to get a true 4K gaming experience from whatever this PlayStation 4 is going to be, I just don't see it. I put it, honestly, percentage wise, 90-10 against that happening. That's just how I see it. I just think realistic price wise, price is the big factor here. I just don't see, even with the next gen AMD and NVIDIA GPUs that are going to come out later this year, I just don't see the price dropping enough to be able to do reliable 4K, even on the PC, let alone on a console. I just don't see it.
Do you think it's even worth putting in a 4K Blu-ray drive in there, considering the way the market is going, moving towards streaming video?
For Sony, yes, because again, they're the ones that own this technology. They're the ones that created it. So of course, they're going to push and bleed this out for as long as possible. As long as physical media is still around, they're going to do it. I don't see Microsoft doing this. I think they're going to push more streaming. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So my argument towards that is you've already got a purported machine that if this is going to be what you're talking about, we're talking $600 to $800 minimum. I mean, we're talking bare bones on a 4K type PS device, right?
Right.
You throw in $400 for PlayStation VR. We're talking in the $1,200 to $1,300 range. Regular consumers don't have that. And while I understand you're definitely going to have that divide of your consumers, because not everybody's got $1,200, you know, let alone $800 to a grand for this device. And then you're adding VR on top of that. You know, there's just not including the bundle, you know, the rest of the stuff, the camera that you need to get it done, the Move controllers and stuff like that. We're talking a potential, you might as well just go out and just get Oculus or something else and get a much better PC. Just why limit yourself at that point?
No, if you're
going to max out the credit card, you might as well just go all out.
I don't disagree with you. And that's why I keep harping, even without putting a 4K capable GPU in there, the price is going to be kind of high for this, especially because again, they're pushing VR. They want that. They're obviously pushing 4K stuff. This thing ain't going to be $399. No way. I just don't see it.
Oh, hell no.
You know what I mean? So no, if you're already paying a premium, I can't see them pushing this thing beyond $600. You know what I mean? And if you push this beyond $600, that means you're truly trying to do 4K gaming, which again, I think kind of splinters your market as well, because you're going to have a lot of early adopters who are going to be upset about that, who says, well, why don't you have this at launch? You know, I actually was in a conversation on Facebook. Shout out to Khalif over at Spawn On Me, going back and forth with some people on his Facebook page talking about this. And the one guy was saying that, you know, HDMI 2.0, they're going to need to put in this. And he was like, well, why didn't have HDMI 2.0 at launch? It's because the standard wasn't ready yet
available
when the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 came out. Because it's funny, I have two 4K TVs in my home, and I purposely waited until HDMI 2.0 was ready to go. That way I knew Netflix would be supported. If there was, like, I have an NVIDIA Shield, things like that, that I could connect to it, those would be supported and would be able to, I'd be able to display 4K content on there. Because if you do HDMI 1.4, you're limiting, the bandwidth is limited to 30 frames per second, which you don't want. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of factors for early adopters why we didn't have 4K at launch on the, because it, under the hood, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One is more than capable of streaming 4K video content. That's not even the issue. It's the HDMI ports. So, yeah, this thing is most likely coming with HDMI 2.0, and I would fully expect whatever the next revision of the Xbox One is, it's going to have HDMI 2.0 as well, because they're going to want to support 4K, at least for video streaming, because that's where Netflix and Amazon and even Hulu, I'm assuming, eventually they're going with their content. So it just makes sense. Mm.
See, now, this one thing I was reading too online, that the console, like you said, it's going to have like an upgraded GPU and probably some like CPU that might improve the power of the console and stuff. But they're all doing this right before the launch of the PlayStation VR. Do you think this is because they want people to purchase this if they want a better high-end experience with the VR for PlayStation?
Well, here's my thing. I don't think this is a 2016 product. I think this is a 2017 product. I think VR as we see it today will get a year on the market to appease all the people that currently have PlayStation 4s. And then next fall, they're going to go, hey, we have this 4K PlayStation 4. If you want VR, you can buy this bundle. And you don't have the, because you have to remember that VR thing, not only do you have the helmet and the Move controllers, there's also that breakout box that you have to, is basically a bridge unit between the PlayStation 4 and the VR unit, because it's adding extra power to the PlayStation 4. And what I'm saying is, and again, this is just my opinion, my theory, they're basically going to build that into the PlayStation 4, so you no longer need that box. That's what I think. So, I mean, again, we'll see. Look, I could be 1,000% wrong, and I'm sure the hate the hate tweets will be flowing. I told you, you son of a, you know, you was wrong. I told you, you know. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Again, I'm just looking at the past because there is precedent with these console refreshes of adding components to take advantage of new tech. Like, look at the Xbox 360. When it launched, it didn't even have an HDMI port. Because at the time, it didn't make sense. But then once HDMI was widely adopted, they put an HDMI port in there, you know? And it didn't start from the gaming standpoint, nothing changed. Because we had this conversation a few weeks ago. If you look at the Xbox 360 when it launched to the Xbox 360 that you have today, you can still play the same games on a launch unit that you can play on whatever the latest version of it is. You know, same goes with with the PlayStation 3. I don't see consoles changing that variant. Whatever games you could play at on the launch system, you'll be able to play on whatever these new consoles are at the end of the day. The gaming experience, the core gaming experience won't change, in my personal opinion. I just can't see them changing frame rates and changing resolution and all that, which potentially is going to splinter your consumer base. It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, if anything, 4K gaming will be a reality on a PlayStation 5 and whatever the next Xbox is. Because by then, when we get to 2019, 2020, GPUs should be more affordable and more than capable of handling that extra bandwidth.
Now, another thing I was reading, too, is that there's rumors that... they're saying that PlayStation are thinking about bringing the VR to the PC. Now, my question is, how's that going to work if they do plan to send that to Windows 10 devices and stuff, like especially the PC? How's that going to work if you don't have a PlayStation 4? Do you need also the Move controllers and all that, all the other stuff?
I would imagine, right? You're still going to need your Move controllers.
You need the camera. You're going to need the Move controllers, and I'm going to assume two per person, and they're what, $40, $60 a pop.
Yeah, so the whole bundle is like what, $500?
It's $500 for the bundle.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, if I'm going to put $500, I'd rather go with the Oculus instead of the PlayStation VR. Like, why would I get?
But do you have a PC that can support Oculus?
No. But if I'm going to spend...
Break out the credit card.
No, but I'm saying if I'm going to spend $500, might as well go, like you said, Pete, go all out. Why get something that's less powerful than Oculus?
But see, what Pete is saying, you don't currently have a PC that could support VR. So what Sony's banking on is you have a PlayStation 4, and they're saying that device will be capable of supporting their VR. They're banking on the 36-plus million PlayStation 4 owners out there. You got to figure more than half of them do not have a PC that could support Oculus as it is today, right? So they're basically saying, look, for $399 or whatever the bundle is, you got a camera, Move, or whatever, you can get into VR. But like if you wanted to get Oculus, you're still going to have to spend however much Oculus is, and then you're going to have to invest in a high-end PC to support it. So you're going to wind up spending double, if not triple, the price of just getting the PlayStation VR unit.
Well, we still don't know the full details, but we'll see what happens in the future, man. You see, like, E3 is going to be very interesting from everybody, man. From everybody.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, like I think, you know, Microsoft been kind of quiet, very quiet. Sony, there's been things that's been leaking here and there. And Nintendo, zero. No information what's going on with them, which I, for sure, they're probably going to have a press conference to announce the NX, but... I'm very excited for this year's E3, man. You know, like I'm wondering what's going to happen, especially with Sony. They're comfortable now, man. They're on top. They're number one right now. They're, you know, all these games they've been announcing, they announced a couple of years ago. Is it going to eventually going to come out this year? They're going to push it next year. It's going to be a very interesting E3 this year.
Well,
for sure.
You figure they're like right now. I'm looking at it on Amazon.com, and they've got Oculus Rift bundles already. Combined with Asus desktops and Alienwares and Dells and stuff like that. The cheapest one is $1,500 and goes all the way up to $3,000. Like, and that's a total package. You've got the Oculus, headphones, you know, controllers, PC. I mean, and we're talking high end gaming PCs. And even if you're going to go with the lower tier and I hate to call it the lower tier, but if you really think about it, it's going to be a console version of VR. So yeah, it is going to be lower tier. You're still going to be spending any upwards of, $1,000 to $1,500 for that. Just get the good one. If you're going to spend that kind of cheddar anyways on getting the VR experience, might as well just get it and get it on a PC and get that true VR experience and not the watered down PlayStation VR version.
Wow, that was like a major diss, but okay.
Hey, it's the truth. It's the truth. If you've got the money, go all out and ball. But if you got a ball on a budget, it's going to cost you more or less the same amount. Might as well just get it on a PC and just get the better version of it if you're going to pay the same price.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to this. And I agree with what Pete's saying, but it really comes down to this. Sony has to go above and beyond on the content, right? They have to prove that being the cheaper option, we have as good, if not better, content than you can find on the Vive or the Oculus. So as long as they're able to do that, or at least at a minimum, the developers that are making games on the Vive and the Oculus, get them to also make those same games on a PlayStation 4. Maybe, you know, they're down-res somewhat graphically or whatever, but as long as you're getting that... Look, man, I played Minecraft and I was immersed into that. So as long as you give me something like that, I don't care if it's on the ColecoVision VR. If it just looks amazing, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? So as long as you immerse me into a virtual environment and it works, the rest of it doesn't matter. But I do get what Pete's saying, because look, at this point in the game, if I want a VR experience, I'm looking more at Oculus and Vive than I am at PlayStation VR. But again, I already have made the big initial investment in the PC. So I don't have to worry about that. I just need to get the unit. So, you know what I mean? So price wise, yeah, I may spend a little more than PlayStation VR, but like Pete's saying, it's probably going to be the quote unquote superior experience. But end of the day at E3, see that's one amazing thing about this E3 versus the past ones. It's going to be a VR battleground. You're going to see stations set up everywhere competing for your attention. To get into that.
Yeah, that's going to be tight, man. But let me ask you this. I know that Oculus just came out, just launched. A lot of people have been getting it today and everything. And the reviews, I haven't read anything yet about the device. But I've been seeing ads everywhere. For you guys, you, Pete and Paris, that you guys have a PC, high-end PC, sorry. I'm just messing with you. Are you guys excited to get this device? Are you kind of like still thinking about it, or what? What are your thoughts about it?
I'm still on the outside looking in. I don't see myself jumping into this probably for another year or two. I want to see where it goes. I'm hesitant to throw this much cash. You know, it's just like everybody else. Hey, we're still talking a $600 investment. Unless you know, you're Palmer Luckey himself or you're Mark Zuckerberg, $600 is still a lot of money. To me, it is. So it's difficult for me to throw $600 down on something that's still an unknown. Like, I threw $500 down on an Xbox One. I knew what I was getting. I was getting a video game experience that I was expecting. It's an upgrade from what I had before. I can't see myself doing that on untested, you know, on an untested ground.
So E3 might change if you do hands-on.
Even though Eve Valkyrie looks great, and that for me personally is probably the only title that I would want to play right out the bat, and I'm like kind of interested in. I don't see any of the other stuff that's come out. Like we've seen a lot of stuff already. Adrift, Project Cars. We already kind of know what that looks like because we've already seen the existing experience. Pinball FX2, VR Tennis.
But those are launch titles. I mean, from now till the holidays, we'll get to see like better games and everything.
Oh, I would hope so. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to go based on what's available right now. I'm not going to jump into this. I'm not going to jump into this VR pool to wait around until the holidays. I'm going to wait until the holidays, to take advantage of, you know, any holiday, you know, bundles or prices. But also, I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens that first 6 to 9 months of life. Is there a lot more problems that have occurred as a result of a limited amount of beta testing? Which, you know, this is a big thing, and I'm sure Facebook has probably thrown the wallet at VR to make sure that this launches with minimal issues, but mm-hmm. still something
no,
that you
want to...
You say that. You say that, but there's no way that you can accommodate or you can look to test against every single possible hardware configuration or combination that's out there in the wild. You're only going to test against 10, maybe 15 test devices, but there's no way that you can that you could test against every instance out there, because it's just not going to happen. There's no way. It's the unknown that you have to try to anticipate and be prepared for, but I don't see it happening. So that's why I want to wait and give it a year.
Okay. Paris, very quick. Want to say anything else?
I mean, pretty much what Pete was saying, other than, yeah, price is still my barrier to entry. If I'm going to spend that amount of money, I'm probably going to buy another GPU so I can play in 4K before I do that. But yeah, I want to take a wait and see, just to kind of see what the killer apps or quote unquote killer games are going to be before I invest into it, and which one seems like the right one to invest into. And real quick, you mentioned Parmalucky, because I saw a picture of him yesterday giving the guy in Alaska the first one. You want to know what's funny? Had a conversation with him at the Xbox Spring Showcase and didn't even realize it. Didn't know it was him.
Wait.
Yeah.
Paris, I mentioned to you the other day, if you got to see him, we're like, yeah, I was around.
Yeah, but then when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, crap, I talked to that dude. like had nothing to do with gaming, just like I forget exactly what it was, but we were looking at Killer Instinct, because Killer Instinct was right there by the Oculus, you know, area where they were showing it off, and he was standing there watching someone play, and we were talking about the match. That was him, and I was like, oh my god, I talked to him, didn't even know it.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it's too funny.
Talking to the great Parmalucky, that's crazy. Yep. But you know, to quickly pay the bills real quick, want to talk real briefly about the Delta Airlines and CBS Local Presents Guiding Greatness. Actually, I would love to have Parmalucky jump into the Guiding Greatness video series. I know it's not going to happen, but it'd be a great opportunity to listen to his insight from the history of video games that he's experienced, just from a technological standpoint. I'm sure that'd be, I would just love to be able to hear what his experience is and his ups and downs with his successes and stuff. But going back to the Guiding Greatness series, they're uploading new videos and new interviews every week. The latest one this week features Mark Bray from Notre Dame, my personal favorite, Coach K, even though they got knocked out of the Sweet 16, just like my Hurricanes. but where's your Seminoles? Thank you.
Beating y'all on the football field. That's where we are.
We're talking basketball here, though. So we're talking the greats of the NCAA college basketball arena. Guiding Greatness is an exclusive video series. You can check it out on guidinggreatness.com. It's presented by Delta Airlines, and it offers insight straight from the mouths of some of the most successful NCAA college basketball coaches. We're talking Mike Bray. We're talking, Mark Bray. Greg Gard, when he took over for the legendary Bo Ryan, Mark Fox over in Georgia, Patrick Chambers at Penn State. These are coaches that have seen it all and they've done it all. They've succeeded at the highest level in the collegiate realm. And they tell their stories from their point of view, their perspective, and talk about winning, losing, consistency, leadership, disappointment, all the things that a great leader uses. So if you have an opportunity, head on over to guidinggreatness.com. Check out the Guiding Greatness series featuring some of the greatest NCAA basketball coaches and hear the stories from their mouth.
All right. So once we come back, we're going to talk about one more thing that I'm pretty excited about. Paris Voltron. Woo! On Netflix. Ugh. Oh my God. Ugh. Wait. Save it for the show. Jesus. My God. All right, so right now we're going to play a review by Patrick of Quantum Break for the Xbox One. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? Patrick here, a.k.a. Paulston J, and I got a new game review for you guys for this week. This time we're talking about Quantum Break, Microsoft's highly anticipated new first-party exclusive, available only for Xbox One and Windows 10, and developed by Remedy Entertainment, the guys who brought us Max Payne and Alan Wake. So review purposes, I played and reviewed this game on Xbox One. So what is Quantum Break? Quantum Break, at its heart, is a third-person cover-based shooter with superpowers based around the concept of time. So in Quantum Break, you play as Jack Joyce. Jack Joyce is a man who's been separated from his brother Will for about 7 years. And when he reunites with Will, he discovers that Will and Jack's best friend Paul have been secretly working on technology to travel through time. So at the beginning of the game, there's an incident, there's an explosion, and there's basically a cascading effect, a quantum break, if you will, that could lead to a series of events that could lead to the end of time. So you, as Jack, at the epicenter of that explosion, develop superpowers based around time and have to use these new powers to help try to save the world. So I'm trying to be as vague as possible there because the story is the key of this game. You know, as a single-player-only game, everything is about the plot. And the plot in Quantum Break is interesting because since it's based around time travel, it's based around the choices that you make. So the story is broken up into five acts, and each act has a certain number of chapters inside of it. So when you complete an act, what makes Quantum Break is unique is you have these junction events. And these junction events happen at the end of each act, and you have to make a critical decision that drastically alters the story of the rest of the game. And, you know, these are pretty extreme examples, too, because, like, the decision you make at the end of the first act will drastically alter the path and the nature of the story as it progresses forward. And obviously, this will have a cascading effect on the future junctions and decisions and acts, because, as it says, there are five acts, four junctions, each one leading to a culminating effect to have, you know, an ending based around the decisions that you made. So this is obviously a game that very heavily encourages replayability. So let's talk about the combat. In the combat, as I said, it's a third-person shooter, it's cover-based, but it's a very organic system. So as opposed to other games where you have to press or hold a button to get in and out of cover, in Quantum Break, it's all reactionary. When you move Jack up into a loop behind cover, he'll automatically duck down. If you move him behind next to a wall, he'll automatically put his back to the wall. He also reacts naturally to gunfire as well. So if, you know, you're sprinting around out in the open and people start shooting at you, Jack will automatically duck down lower to try to avoid some of the bullets. So, you know, because you are one man going up against an entire corporation, a paramilitary force, if you will, the odds are very heavily stacked against you. This is where your time superpowers come in handy. And they're broken down into a couple of different unique styles of superpowers. So one of them is called Time Dash. And Time Dash allows you to quickly dart in a certain direction to get out of the way of explosions or gunfire, or just, you know, get the drop on your enemies. The cool thing about Time Dash is it not only does it give you a nice reprieve to get out of the way of things, you can also hold down the aiming button during the dash, and when you come out at the end of the dash, you'll automatically have slowed down time around you so you can line up headshots or shoot explosive barrels and, you know, cause like kinds of chaos in the battlefield. You know, if you get yourself in a tricky situation, you also have the ability to throw up a bullet shield, essentially, a time shield, where essentially it throws up a circle around you and all the bullets that hit it will just stop in place, allowing you to recover your health, but still fire back through out of the shield as well to defend yourself. You also have the ability to time stop, and you can purposely target this as well. So if, you know, there's an enemy that just surprises you right in front of you, or a distant sniper you need to take care of, you can throw the time stop out. It'll stop that period of time in that bubble area around the enemy. And when you fire at the enemy, you can literally stack the bullets on top of each other, one after the other. So when time unfreezes, it pushes all the bullets at the same time, doing a lot more concussive force and damaging some of the stronger enemies out there as well. In addition to that, you also have the ability to use like things like Time Blast, which is concentrated burst explosion of time energy as well. And all these abilities are upgradable. So you, as you play through the game, kill enemies, get experience points. You get these experience points. You can go into your talent tree at any time in this main menu or the pause menu and upgrade those abilities to things like, you know, the time slow lasts longer. You are able to mark enemies when you use certain abilities on top of that. All these certain tools give you a competitive edge that you drastically need to overcome their overwhelming odds against you. Because the cool thing is the AI is pretty smart. They use tactics to try to overwhelm you and flank you, and they're pretty aggressive as well. But the cool thing is the gameplay never feels cheap or unfair. You know, I played through the game on the hard difficulty setting, and there's also easy normal as well. But in no time did I feel like I've been cheated by a death because you have these time superpowers, and usually they're not always all on cooldown because they have cooldowns that you basically prevent you from, you know, cheating the system. but they're designed in a way that if you play smart and play effective, you'll always have a way to get out of any situation, whether that's dashing away, stopping time, slowing down time so you can, you know, find a new flanking maneuver or take out enemies from a distance or up close. There's a lot of combat strategies leading to the combat to be very replayable, which again goes back to an original point, is because you make certain key decisions at the end of each of the acts, you are going to definitely want to go back through and replay the game at least two or three to extra times to get all the different endings, stories, and, you know, try different experiences with combat as well. There's a lot of flexibility here with how you want to play the game. So the cool thing here is, you know, not only do you have the junctions where you make the critical story decisions, these carry into the other interesting part of the plot of Quantum Break, which are the episodes that are available at the end of every act. And these episodes are actually literal live-action, professionally shot TV episodes set in the world of Quantum Break, with the actors and actresses who play those roles in the game portion appearing now in the television portion of the game. So I know in the past, games like Defiance have tried to blend games and shows and really haven't had that much mainstream success. Because to be fair, it's a tricky formula to pull off, because, you know, it's pretty easy for a show to become overly cheesy when based around a game concept. But surprisingly enough, the episodes for Quantum Break are well-produced and very well-acted. I mean, you have some pretty big star power in there in these major roles, and all the, and of course, all the characters that are not major Hollywood stars perform the roles very admirably well. And, you know, they did a very good job of motion capturing the actors in gameplay. So, you know, or it very organically shifts between the in-game CGI engine running the graphics to the live action video with the actors and actresses. So there's not too much of an awkward jump between the two. And the episodes are actually very well produced. They're about 20 minutes each. And as I said, they're based around the decisions you made at the junction, the end of the gameplay section. And it can be altered further by finding certain collectibles throughout the game, basically like little Easter eggs, if you will. So if you say if you pick up a statue early on in one act, you know, that statue will appear on someone's desk later on during the live action TV episode. So there's a little bit of like a customization aspect to it. But the cool thing is, I mean, you literally have distinct paths the story can take. So, you know, while one character, one person playing the game might have picked, you know, a more pacifist route versus a more, you know, violent hard edge approach, you'll see a drastically different evolution in the branching of the story, both in the performances of the actors, or some people may not be there, whether or not they were, you know, they died in the story or they lived. All this drastically changes the story as it evolves as you play through the acts and unlock the episodes. So it's really fun, you know, to have these really intense combat, you know, shooting experiences culminating in, you get to sit back, relax, watch an episode of the show, get excited, and give little teases of where the plot's going to go for the next act. So this is one of those games you can definitely play at your leisure. You don't really feel any urge to like blow through it, because it's essentially like getting to enjoy your own specialized TV show that you have a pretty heavily portion of the game based around, both your actions as the hero, as Jack Joyce, and of course the focus on the villains as well in the TV show. So you get both sides of the story here, both sides of the coin, and it's really interesting to see the story evolve from both perspectives. And so overall, I mean, Quantum Break is a very fun game mechanically. The combat, you know, again, this is the guys who made Max Payne, you know, so they definitely know what they're talking about when it comes to third person shooting. And, you know, this game borrows just enough of those third person mechanics from Max Payne to be familiar, but it's still fresh. I mean, this is a game that, you know, in the past we've had a lot of games that tried to do the time power concept. I mean, God knows too many to count, but very few actually make the time combat not only engaging, but breathtaking as well. I mean, the visual effects on this game really are impressive. I mean, you have these instances called stutters, or sometimes you'll have these echoing effects of like the time cascade will stop time, slow down time randomly, and just, you know, artificially can, like, you know, alter the battlefield in ways that make it seem very, you know, fun and fluid and organic. You have some later enemies as well that can mimic your time travel abilities to mix up the challenge. So, you know, these guys can't be stopped. They have to be outthought because they have the same time ability as you do. So other twisted turns like that really help shape the gameplay, switch it up, make sure it's always fresh. And more importantly, you know, the narrative always continues at a brisk pace. So you never feel like you're getting bored or losing interest. It's, you know, similar to like what games like Uncharted do, or making you the star of the show. So everything revolves around you, so you're always pushing the plot forward. You're never having to stop or grind or backtrack anything. It's always, you know, moving forward in one direction. So it's nice to play a game with, you know, a strong direction like that, plot-wise, where, again, you still have that element of customization and choice with the decisions you make at the end of each act as well. So, I mean, overall, I think Quantum Break is a must-own game. Not only is it terrifically fun as a game, it's entertaining as a product, as an experience, and it has a replayability on top of that, where you will want to go through and play it at least one to two more times on top of that, just to try out the different experiences, the combat, you know, fully upgrade Jack Joyce, and, of course, get the different ending as well once you go back through and say, you know, what if I did this as opposed to this like I did last time? So, I mean, I think Quantum Break is a huge success for many entertainment. I highly recommend it if you have an Xbox One or you have a Windows 10 compatible PC. I would recommend you check this out for sure. Xbox One copy, obviously, is going to be the go-to if you can't afford a nice computer, because, I mean, Quantum Break is a gorgeous game. The Xbox One does an admirable job of running it, but this is definitely a resource-heavy game, so make sure you have a powerful rig before looking at the Windows 10 version of Quantum Break. But if you have the beefy machine, I think this definitely is a game you want to pick up, because this is one of those, you know, those jaw-dropping milestones we've reached in gaming, where you just have those wow moments of the combination of, you know, the lighting, the great character models, just like the actors that they portray, and, you know, of course, all these cool time-altering effects that happen on top of that. So it all culminates in this really cool, visual, organic, really fun experience that, you know, whether you have an Xbox One or a computer, you're going to have a lot of fun playing Quantum Break. So again, highly recommend it. Check it out. I do think it's worth that $60 price tag, because this is a AAA experience, and this one that you will have some replayability out of as well, so it guarantees multiple playthroughs. So overall, again, Quantum Break, a lot of fun. You know, who knew you could have so much fun playing with time, but they did an admirable job directing, casting, writing this game. The voice acting is all stellar. Really, this has all the trappings and hallmarks of a quality AAA title that you would expect from big first-party exclusive, like what this game was purported to be since it was first announced. So I think Remedy definitely nailed what they wanted to do. So go check out Quantum Break. It's a ton of fun. And now I'll send it back to the guys of the show. Thanks.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, that was Patrick. Quantum Break. I just started playing mine. I just finished Act 1. I'm pretty excited about it, man. What about you, Paris? Are you excited for the game or what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, I can't wait to play this on Windows 10. I definitely want to crank all the settings up and just see how great it's going to look. Like I said, I played it at the spring showcase, but at the time it was still locked at 1080p, 30 frames per second. So I want to get it up at 60 frames per second, see how it looks, maybe get it up to 1440p and check it out there.
All right. Awesome, man. All right. Paris, you could go on now.
No, I know I can go. Well, Jesus, you know, we talk a Quantum Break, and I know you want to talk Voltron and all that, but Danny, since you're so yes. in love with Voltron, I think you need some financial advice, because Voltron is a financial loser. So our friends over at LearnVest is an online financial advice company focused on empowering people nationwide to make smart decisions. Voltron's a bad decision. Smart decisions with their money. If you want to know how aggressively to pay down your student loans, your Voltron Netflix subscription, LearnVest can help with that. If you want to know how much you should put aside for saving or contribute to your retirement account, yep, LearnVest is on it. They'll create a custom financial plan, plus they'll pair you with a financial planner to help keep you on track. I even checked out the site a little bit. I mean, you can download an app. Like I said, they'll connect you with people, help you build that financial portfolio to, you know, get you out of debt, get you on the right track. It's a great site. So again, check out a sample plan over there. Get $50 credit. Go to learnvest.com/GTR. Again, if you want to get a $50 credit, go to learnvest.com/GTR for all your financial advice needs.
Awesome. So why you had to diss me like that?
I got to diss you like that because, okay, again, if people have been hearing me on the podcast airwaves over the years, they know I hate Line Voltron. I can't stand Line Voltron.
Why? You hate Line Voltron.
He is a cheating son of a gun. That Blazer Sword is... I can't stand it. Here's every episode. Here's every episode of Voltron. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. The five lions go out, fight the Robeast. Robeast slaps them down. Bing, 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 bing. All right, form Voltron. Robeast still kicking Voltron's tail. Oh, crap, we're losing. Blazing Sword. Swipe, swipe. Blow up. End the show. That's it. That's the show.
Unless there's like a part two of part three, then they struggled. They struggled a couple times.
Vehicle Voltron didn't need the sword to win. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not a fan of the Vehicle Voltron. I just never been a fan. And I try, Paris. I try many times. I just can't. I can't. And I had the original toys.
Dude, like the Vehicle Voltron was dope. You had all the vehicles. They could form like the air unit, the sea unit, the land unit. Then they come together as Voltron. Man, Voltron had that whip. He had the sword. He had them cycle things that was on his shoulder. He would throw at you. But there was also 15. I know.
That's the problem I had with Vehicle Force Voltron. There was sea team, land team, air team. It was way too many. Yeah, 15 vehicles that had to get together to be.
You know why, Pete? Because it was more money. They just wanted to get more money. That's why. But don't worry, guys. I'm all about the lines, man.
I'm sure you are. But anyways, I saw the WonderCon trailer for the Line Voltron thing. I didn't like it.
Why? Is it because of the animation? I mean, the soundtrack?
That's why. I honestly, jokes aside, that's why. I thought the soundtrack left a lot to be desired. Animation was okay. It's really going to come down to who they get for the voice cast and what tone they're going to take with the story. Are they going to be serious about it? Are they going to be super cheesy like the 80s show or what? Because, like, I don't know if you remember, Nickelodeon had that Voltron show a few years ago. It was corny. I couldn't stand it. I never got to see it.
Yeah,
it was super corny. So hopefully this takes a more mature, serious approach to it. We'll see.
But you're not excited at all, huh?
But I'm trying to temper my expectations. I loved Voltron. Voltron's is like, it's one of those cartoon anime series that I wasted a lot of time watching as a kid. More so, for me, it's more. I love it so much. I forgot the name. I'm more of the mechs. Voltron was kind of like. It was kind of like just extra stuff. I was more of a, I don't know. Voltron was fun and it was great, but I liked more of the mech warrior type stuff. You know, it was great, but it wasn't, I guess I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm trying to temper my expectations for it. So, I'm trying to be safe.
So Pete, have you and Danny, have you ever seen the third Voltron?
No,
there's a third Voltron. I don't even think it ever aired.
Which
in the
one?
States.
The Gladiator one?
The three robots.
That was only Japan, right?
Yeah, I think it was only Japan. But the toys did come out. I remember as a kid, I was in the Tampa Mall. I forget which mall in Tampa, but I just remember as a kid seeing it in the store. They had that Voltron. I was like, "What the hell is this?" And I looked, and it was Voltron. It had six arms. It was crazy. So
what type of Voltron was it?
It was three robots that came together. Had six arms.
Holy crap.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube and Google it, you can find it. Now, if you really want to trip out, because again, now I'm being super nerdy. All the Voltrons, they were originally three separate Japanese cartoons, and then they re-edited and named it Voltron for the States. The Lion Voltron was called Go Lion. If you see Go Lion, the original Japanese cut, violent as hell.
No way.
Oh, dude, it was straight. They were straight murder, blood, like who's the nanny? Remember the nanny at the castle? I forget her name.
I know you're talking about.
She got straight. She got shot in the back. Plow! Oh, it's crazy, dude. You got to see it. It's crazy. It's ridiculously violent. It's not for kids at all. It's for adults.
No, it's not. And going back, Macross Robotech, that was where I grew up on. And I know Paris is probably a bigger fan of Macross and Robotech than I was. And I was a big fan of it. So... We could probably talk a whole other show about that, but
I will say this, and actually I'll take a picture and I'll put it on Twitter behind me right now. I actually have Lion Voltron along with all my Macross stuff behind me because someone gave it to me years ago. It's a big diecast metal Voltron. It looks pretty cool, but I'd rather have the vehicle Voltron. I'll put
hater.
I know I'm a hater, but yet it's in my house. What was wrong with me?
Now for the listeners out there, old school heads, are you guys excited for the new Voltron on Netflix? Let us know. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Also, who do you like? The lines or the freaking dumb vehicles, Voltron?
I already know the answer to this. 99.9% of the people are going to respond, I like the lion Voltron, but the vehicle.
That was the most popular one.
That's the only one they were likely exposed to.
Yeah, I like the vehicles better. And Pidge's twin brother was part of the vehicle team. How about that for some trivia?
All right, man. So we're going to wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Or you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and also TuneIn Radio, Spotify. We're everywhere. Or you can visit us also at play.it/gamertag. That's play.it/gamertag. You can give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. WrestleMania is this weekend. Paris, very quick. Any predictions? Very quick.
I don't know, dude. Like I was telling you offline, I just figure Shane's going to win somehow, some way, so they can get rid of the authority and hit the reset button the next day. Roman Reigns, he's got to walk out with the belt. I hope they turn him heel, but I got a feeling they're not. They're gonna boo the hell out of him at that thing. So I don't know, dude. I'll say this. This is my least anticipated WrestleMania in probably 10 years.
Yeah, the lineup is kind of weak.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
But I'm more excited for NXT TakeOver.
That's definitely worth watching on WWE Network Saturday night. That's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for that. Is it Saturday night or Friday night?
Friday night. Saturday night is the Hall of Fame.
Is Saturday night. Yeah. One last thing for me before we go. Dude, I started from scratch playing The Witcher 3 again. Dude, it's still the best game in this generation. I just have to say that.
I think so too.
My God. It's so freaking good. Cause it's like I'm purposely making different decisions than I did before. And already I feel like I'm going down a completely different path than I did the first time I played. It's pretty cool.
Awesome, man. What about you, Pete? We're gonna wrap it up.
I'm just looking out for Macross Delta coming out next month. Going back to the Robotech and robots. That's just me though.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely getting the Star Wars Blu-ray. Yeah, extra content. I'm excited for that. All right, so we're out. Until next time. Peace. Later.
Peace.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.